What's up, guys? Only 55 days to go now until the Panthers kick off the 2015 season. I'm super pumped. I'm sure you are as well. So let's dive right in with the second episode of the Black Cat podcast. My name's Sam Patching. Today I'm going to be talking about two of the bottom feeders from last year's competition, the Cronulla Sharks and the Canberra Raiders, as well as talking a little bit about the preseason training, what we've heard at a training camp so far, and just touching base with some of the injured players and how they're going with their rehab as the 2015 season draws closer and closer every day. So I'll start with last season's wooden spooners, the Cronulla Sharks, who the Panthers will only face once this season. They'll be round eight at home. They've added some fairly significant new players to the club, most notably Ben Barber, Michael Ennis, Mitch Brown, Jared Beal, and Kyle Stanley. A bunch of other guys as well, actually. They've had a really big recruitment drive this year, and the key loss is Todd Carney, but you've also got John Morris, who retired. Tupou Sapoga, who's also joined the Panthers. I'm going to struggle with that name, but I think as the season wears on, we're probably just going to call him Toops. And I've been watching a bunch of his videos on the Panthers TV, that new series they're running on the website, and he seems like a real character. The guys already seem to love him, and yeah, I'm looking forward to having him around the club because he seems like he's a lot of fun. So as far as the 2015 season goes for Cronulla, their betting odds have obviously jacked up a little from wooden spooners to now they're projected to come around 10th with a 21 to 1 odds of finishing in first place. 10th seems around where I'd probably slot them. I've actually got them at 11 in my sort of preseason rankings, but yeah, 10th seems reasonable. Might just jump onto some of the tweets I've got during the week about Cronulla. So Shunt has said he sees them coming 8th with a solid forward pack, even if Gal and Lewis are a bit frail, and their outside back stocks looks much better than last year. I do agree with that. 8th is going to be tough to me. I'm really struggling to see who's going to slide out from last year's top 8. A lot of people are saying maybe even Manly could be one of those teams, but it's pretty hard to sell me on the Sharks finishing in the top 8 this year, unless, of course, you get a sort of miraculous turnaround from Ben Barber and we sort of see what he was doing a few years ago with the Bulldogs. If we can see that from him next year and Mick Ennis can sort of play where he was at a couple of years ago as well, I guess that's probably the best case scenario, that they'd finish in the top 8. They've obviously got a really strong forward pack, and yeah, I do agree with that. But at the same time, their roster is aging. I've got another tweet here actually from Big Boom on Twitter, who said that they're going to finish 12th. And as I was saying before, an aging roster, no attack in the backs, and Paul Gallen only plays a quarter of the season. And that's true with the Sharks as well. When you think about even just the representative duties, like sometimes Gallen will basically take, of that, whatever it is, 8-9 weeks, he'll take 6 or 7 of them off. And it's basically, yeah, if you're only playing 24 games a year and your best player's missing a third of them due to representative duties, and then you've got to worry about the injuries just because of the way he plays, to think you would be without one of your main guys like that for that long throughout the season, it is hard to sell anyone on them finishing much higher than around that sort of 10 to 12 range. And yeah, the bookies have got them sort of slotted at 10, and I can see that being a very reasonable target for the Sharks. I can't see them sliding into that top 8, and even if they do, they'll be pinching one of those last couple of spots, and I can't see them doing any real damage in the finals. In 2014, the Panthers really struggled with the Sharks, actually. Played them twice, lost both, also lost a bunch of players to injuries, most notably that Peter Wallace thing, which was absolutely brutal, rupturing his ACL in the Bathurst game. And that was what I thought was going to be the nail in the coffin for the Panthers season, which I spoke about last week, but obviously not. But at the same time, those two losses would have also been the difference between the Panthers finishing in first place in the competition and finishing in fourth. Not going to dwell on that too much, though. Obviously, we still managed to sort of steal the Roosters' minor premiership once the finals started anyway by beating him in that 1v4 game. But yeah, I think it's going to be another rough year for the Sharks. They are getting older. Luke Lewis has really started to look like he's winding down to the end of his career and probably just playing out his remaining contract. I can't see, as sad as it is, I would have loved to have actually seen Luke Lewis maybe return to the Panthers on a cheaper deal for the last year of his career and try and win one more title with the club, but probably an unrealistic hope for the once great Panthers. Yeah, I'd say he's a Panthers legend. I've sort of grown up with Luke Lewis, like having him first start playing for the club in 2003, that first sort of premiership of my era. And he played all the way through my sort of growing up with the club. And yeah, it's sort of sad to watch his body sort of break down in front of our eyes. But on the other hand, you've got Michael Gordon, who's also gone over there, and he sort of had a bit of a renaissance season last year, where he actually managed to play, I think, in all of the games for the Sharks. And yeah, that was pretty cool to see a guy that really his body's sort of failed him in a bunch of occasions throughout his career, and to see him actually put a full season together last year and really impress some people, and even show sort of that some of that representative form that we saw out of him a few years back when he was with the club and playing healthy. And yeah, good for Michael Gordon. I really liked him at the club as well. He seemed like a really good influence on a lot of the younger guys around, and he was a really, really talented player. And yeah, to see some guys that have come through the Panthers system and then leave, not particularly by their own choice, it's you do want to see them play well and succeed. And I'm happy that Michael Gordon managed to have a full year last year, and hopefully the same is the case for him again this season coming up. And hopefully he's not too much of a pain in the ass for the Panthers to deal with, because he really was in that, particularly that game in Bathurst. Michael Gordon was just, he was all over the field. He was playing fullback on the day, and just, he looked every bit as good as what I remember him being in his peak form for the Panthers. And yeah, so long as guys like Michael Gordon are playing well in the fullback, and they can get some sort of improvement from Ben Barber on what he did last year, they'll be a dangerous team. But I do agree that the aging roster, and not exactly one of the most, they haven't really got potent weapons in the backfield like a lot of the teams do, like what I think the Panthers are going to have this year, and that could be a problem for them in putting points on the board. But yeah, I think there's still going to be a little bit of repercussions for the some of that Asada investigation stuff that was been going on the last couple of years. I think it's really hard for a club to sort of get over all of that. And if they do, full credit to them. But it seems to me like they're going to be in a bit of an uphill battle now, and they might actually pretty soon need to sort of hit the reset button in a similar way to what the Panthers did a few years ago. Because when you've been through everything a lot of these guys have been through, and you consider sort of the toll all of this would have taken on some of these guys mentally, and then you add in the obviously the rigors of playing in rugby league and what that does to your body physically, it's not a good combination. And yeah, I'd be really surprised if the Sharks manage to play finals football next year. But who knows, we play the games for a reason, and yeah, they might very well surprise us all, because I don't think many people saw the Panthers playing finals football last year, and we were, yeah, like I said, two losses against the Sharks away from being the minor premiers. So stranger things have happened. So the Canberra Raiders, if you've got any hope for the Raiders season coming up this year, you might want to head down to the Tab right now, because their betting odds for winning the title are 101-1, which is obviously dead last in the comp, which means the bookies think they are pretty shit and probably going to come last. Just looking at their exits list here of players that have left the club, it's a pretty impressive list of players. You've got Terry Campese, Anthony Milford, Brett White, and Tom Leroy Lars being the most notable guys to have left the Raiders going into the 2015 season. And they're all some really quality players, especially in their primes, and probably guys that they wish they'd got a little more out of, especially Milford, who's leaving at a really young age, and they sort of lost a bidding war with the Broncos to keep him around. But they have actually brought in some fairly talented guys. I'm just going to go through some of the key additions I thought would make a bit of a difference for the team, and those were Blake Austin, Cecil Wonga, Sam Williams, Reece Kennedy, and most notably to me, Frank Paul Nuasala, who I think is an absolute beast. The Roosters called him Frank Paul the Wrecking Ball, and that's exactly what I thought he was. He was a absolute machine running the ball up the middle of the field for the Roosters this year. Didn't make as much of an impact against the Panthers in that finals game, but he was coming off a pretty serious injury, I believe. And yeah, he wasn't anywhere near what he was mid-season. And we played the Roosters at Allianz Stadium a little earlier in the year in a game where it was absolutely bucketing down with rain. And Frank Paul, to me, looked like the most dominant player on the field. And probably one of the most dominant players that the Panthers had to go up against last year. That's how impactful that guy was. I sort of likened him a bit to, not so much his style of play or even his stature, but the way that Mossy Massoi was playing for the Panthers when he sort of really got going before he left for St. Helens, the way he was able to just pick up metres so easily, running the ball up the middle of the field, that's exactly what Frank Paul was doing for the Roosters last year. And he's a really good grab for the Raiders at, after what was a pretty awful recruitment drive for them. They basically thought they had Josh Mansell wrapped up. Obviously, Teddy from the Tigers, James Tedesco, they thought he was theirs as well. I think he actually even signed with them, but then during the NRL signing grace period or whatever it is, he sort of retracted his commitment to the Raiders and re-signed with the Tigers, and that kind of summed up the year they had. I think Kevin Proctor was also another one that was basically, he was basically gone there only to end up, yeah, reversing out of that deal, and that sort of, yeah, summed up a really shitty recruitment drive for the Raiders where they just couldn't get, they couldn't quite get the pen to paper with all these guys, and as a result, they're looking like they might be the real serious bottom feeders going into this new competition. And yeah, you need teams like that out there that can be an easy win. And luckily for the Panthers, we're going to play them twice again this year, and twice sort of later in the season, which could be quite helpful for the team as we're trying to solidify some finals positioning. And yeah, playing them in round 20 at home and round 25 away, I think that'll be really really key for the team in making sure that we're right up there at the end of the season, and making sure we win both of those games will be a big help in, yeah, solidifying some really solid finals position. I've got a tweet here from Mitch who thinks the Raiders are going to come 15th this season, and that they'll be lucky that two of their seven odd wins are against St. George, who finished last, and that Canberra are no hope. And I probably agree with Mitch. I'm really glad, looking at this schedule coming up for the Panthers, that two of those last six rounds feature games against a team like the Raiders, who at that stage in the season may very well be mathematically eliminated from finals football. And to think that we could be playing for basically 4 points, which, as I was saying earlier in the Sharks game, like four competition points are absolutely golden in the NRL. And if we can be in a fairly comfortable position late in the year and then have two games like that pop up on the schedule, like, it really could be the difference between finishing fourth or fifth or finishing first or second. And that's something that you can't take lightly, and obviously every game matters in the NRL, but when you can get a few favours from the scheduling gods out there and play a team like Canberra that late in the season, it really sets you up for a nice run home, and hopefully the club takes advantage of that. I'm really struggling to see any scenario where Canberra doesn't finish in the bottom two or three teams in the league. And as long as Ricky Stewart's around, as bad as I feel about it, I'm happy to root for the Raiders to finish dead last. Yeah, Ricky Stewart is one of those guys that it's really hard to root for the guy. It's really hard to, just listen to him after a game in a press conference. I remember even last season, basically in completely discrediting both times Penrith beat the Raiders, in saying that the entire outcome of the game was a result of the officiating and nothing to do with the players on the field, and saying stuff like that, it sends a bad message to your club because it makes them feel like they were victims of circumstance rather than that they weren't prepared for the win or they weren't physically up to the game. And I just, there's so many things not to like about Ricky Stewart, and having him at the helm of this team, which I think looks like on paper it's designed to fail. Yeah, it's quite comical to me, but yeah, he's one of those coaches that, sure, in a position like where he was with the Roosters, where the team was almost a foolproof construction to that team, that you thought it would almost be impossible for that team to fail. Sure, he's going to win games, and I'm pretty sure they did win a premiership, but as soon as you send him to a different scenario where he's actually got to sort of recreate a team from the ground up, he's just struggled immensely, and he's struggled with Parramatta, he's struggling right now as well. He's not one of those coaches that I would say is equipped mentally or, yeah, just to be looking after a young group of players that need that need to be nurtured through the process of, I guess, having losing seasons in the NRL. And he seems to look for excuses as to why his teams are finishing where they're finishing, when at the end of the day they might not be prepared for the competition. And it's hard to blame stuff like that on officials when you finish second bottom in the comp. And yeah, I think it'll be another one of those rough years for Canberra in 2015, and the wooden spoon seems like it would be very much up for grabs for the Raiders next year. So moving on to the team that we all really want to be talking about, I've got a question here from Ali on Twitter, who wants to know how the injured guys from last season are going with their rehab this year. So basically, as far as we know, we're sort of going to run through everything that we've got so far in terms of all the injured guys and where they're at. So Peter Wallace is hopeful to play in a trial game against Parramatta this year. Tyrone Peachy and Elijah Taylor are both back running at training and looking quite good. This is per Nate Taylor from the Western Weekender. And if you're not following Nate, make sure you are. He's at NateTaylor87, and he's a really good follow. He'll give you everything you need to know about the Panthers and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that normal folk like myself don't have access to. That's where you need to, yeah, Nate's all over that stuff. Anyway, moving on. So we got Soward, who's recovering from sort of an ankle surgery, and he's focused on playing on the Indigenous All-Star game, so he will be out of the nines, but I don't think anyone too significant for the club will be playing in the nines, just because Ivan Cleary probably sees it as too much of a risk. When you even just consider last year, guys like Lachlan Coote making his Cowboys debut and he tears his ACL. Like, you just don't want stuff like that happening in a preseason tournament that doesn't really have anything to do with the actual regular season competition. But yeah, that's where all those guys are at with their rehab. We've also got Josh Mansour, who's still recovering from shoulder surgery and probably will be out for a while. He's not yet reported to training camp or anything like that. He's still rehabbing and getting his body right before he starts, yeah, getting stuck in with the team. But yeah, we'll, as soon as we know anything about where Mansour's at or where, yeah, any of the other guys, Peachy and Elijah, when they start actually working on contact drills at training, I'll be sure to keep everyone posted. And make sure you're following Nate, because he'll be giving you up to the minute sort of information on the team, and he's a seriously good follow for all that sort of stuff. Another thing that's come out of the training camp is that the Jennings boys are looking good. That's probably no surprise to anyone. I think everyone knew that George Jennings was pretty much the real deal, even just seeing him play in the nines before he got injured. And Robert Jennings, by every account, he could be even better than George, and George could be even better than Michael. So we have no idea what the ceiling is for those guys, but at the moment it looks like it could be pretty high. And it's going to create a really interesting scenario in the backfield for the Panthers, where you've got all these guys coming through and only so many spots to play them. You'd have to think that a guy like poor Dave Simmons is going to really struggle to get back into first grade. But even, yeah, Josh Mansour could very well be pushed out of his spot and moved somewhere into more of a role to what Lewis Brown was playing last year. I could see that being something Josh Mansour might have to do for the team, because I also don't see Lewis being around very much long term, just solely on the, yeah, based off the position where we've got so many young guys coming through that need to be playing first grade and soon will be getting paid to play in first grade. And having a guy like Lewis Brown come off the bench is probably not utilizing his skill set enough, and he probably feels he deserves to be an everyday second rower that's starting, and I think that's what he'll end up being, but it probably won't be for the Panthers. So when he moves on, it seems quite likely that someone like Mansour could eventually move into the back row and open up a spot for one of these young guys to be playing out wide on the wing. And yeah, it's exciting stuff. We've got a lot of young guys coming through in the back row, from Isaiah Yeo to Bryce Cartwright and, yeah, Tyrone Peachy as well. Like, there's so many of those guys coming through. And then we've got to make way for the younger guys that are going to come through and want to play in the centres and on the wing, from the Jennings boys to Wunga Blake as well, who looked like an absolute freak last year. There's just a lot of talent coming through. And as sad as it is, it might mean the end of some Panther players that we're quite fond of, like Louis Brown. It could be the end of their time with the club. And it would be a shame to see someone like that go, but I just can't see how it would possibly be in the budget to keep him, when everything that I've seen from the club over the last couple of years sort of indicates that we're focused on developing junior players and keeping them. And re-signing a guy like Lewis Brown would probably be a bit of a contradiction to that model of rebuilding the team. And I think Lewis Brown will most likely end up maybe back at the Warriors next year, but I think he'll be back somewhere on a more where he has a more permanent role and doesn't have to worry about sort of sliding in and out and becoming, sort of a utility player. I think they'll want to make sure that he is, taken care of in a more sort of permanent way. And I don't think that's something the Panthers will be willing to match. And that's probably fine. Like, I think even when we brought in Tyrone Peachy, it seemed like Phil Gould sort of envisioned him playing in the kind of role that Lewis Brown was playing in last year, in that sort of that Craig wing role, coming off the bench and sort of playing a few different positions. And Peach showed that he could do that last year. And I think that's exactly what he'll do once Isaiah Yeo fills out and becomes more of an everyday back rower. And Bryce Cartwright enters the team. Like, there's so many players coming through that, I think there will be a little bit of reshuffling with the starters, even with Jamal Idris probably having to move into the back row or onto the bench. Like, I just can't see any way that we'd be able to fit all these guys in the starting team and still be able to keep our juniors interested in sticking around with the club. And it's one of those things that it's not the most ideal scenario where you've got players like Brown who contributed in a big way in the finals, but when you've got talented juniors coming through, you've got to keep them happy and you've got to give them as many tastes of the top flight that you possibly can, just so that they prepare themselves each week and they know that the reward is a spot in the first grade team. And I think that's exactly what's going to end up happening this year. I think Lewis Brown will probably sign somewhere fairly early in the year to move on next year. And I'm sure he'll be a professional about it, and we'll get a lot out of him leading up to the finals and everything like that. But it doesn't seem possible that he'll be sticking around with the club long term. And that's just my opinion anyway, but the way I've seen the Panthers sort of building the team over the last couple of years, it seems like all signs are sort of pointing towards that being the most likely outcome for the team moving forward. So that should pretty much do us for this week's episode of the Black Cat Podcast. I'll be back early again next week to continue previewing the bottom end of last year's NRL competition, as well as having a look at the Auckland Nines, which is pretty fast approaching. But thanks again for checking out the show. New episodes will be out on the blog and iTunes every Monday, so keep an eye out for that. And also, any questions or thoughts you've got, don't forget to tweet me using the hashtag BlackCatPod. Go the Mighty Panthers. Stop tackle hurts you, and tomorrow you'll be sore. But the only thing that's on your mind is you're close enough to see.